but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
You know, he had a great game. He's a great player. But I think, after that, you just kind of take the bat out of his hands.
And not to give away secrets, but it's pretty much what we should expect going forward.
Yeah.
John Schneider, Blue Jays manager, saying expect Shohei Ohtani will be walked throughout the remainder of this series. Bruce Barnum, Portland State football coach. He's got a little bit of a baseball background. I got to ask you from a strategy standpoint. I don't know if you watched World Series last night, but Shohei Ohtani getting walked five times, hitting two home runs. Man, you know, strategy kind of backfired on the Blue Jays, or maybe it didn't. What'd you think of that? What do you make of that?
Well, hindsight 2020. Thanks for having us, John. Number one, hindsight 2020. Walk him one more time, you probably won the game in regular in nine. You know, Didn't he hit the? I didn't see it all. I tried.
Yeah,
to
he hit
watch
the game
it.
Tying home run in the seventh. Yeah. So yeah,
walking right there, you shoot. You're probably celebrating.
I like
Who
that.
Knows,
do you have,
but,
is there a similarity? I mean, is there any time in football where you consciously fear an opposing player so much that you change your whole scheme? Does anything pop into your mind that, because the Blue Jays are changing their whole scheme, they're doing unconventional thing. You don't put a base runner on. You don't give a free base. But the Blue Jays are going, yeah, you do. You do, because that otherwise that guy will take four.
Right. Yes, there is. As far as myself, other people are different, I'm sure. If I'm going up against defense that has a guy that's going to change the game, that's going to control the line of scrimmage, we try to do something. And you see it. You'll see it. Actually, you see it in the NFL, how they chip. They'll chip a defensive end with a tailback, you know. They'll do something to slow, usually slowing down the rush of a guy. Or they won't go to this corner. So it doesn't really change your entire game, but it makes you scheme ways to get certain people open or keep certain people off your quarterback, I would say.
Bruce Barnum is with us. Before we talk about what's going on with your football team currently, the 2026 schedule has been released. The Big Sky is going to a nine-game conference schedule with Utah Tech and Southern Utah coming into the conference. I am looking at your schedule. It does not include a Montana State. It has payday games at San Diego State and Oregon, but doesn't have like the usual four payday games you've been used to. I like this schedule. It's a more manageable schedule. What did you think when you looked at it?
Much friendlier. Much friendlier, like you say. You know, and take the money games. When we work money games, we try to, I know I have to play two. I really don't want to play four, but you want one that pays a lot, that's Oregon. Or pays more, and then you want, you know, one that doesn't pay as much, and essentially that means your odds go up, you know, if you can put a team together to beat them. You know, so I like it. You know, there's some new teams joining the Big Sky. We take both of those, and it's much friendlier than this year, for sure.
Yeah. So the North Dakota game, are they paying you guys for that game? Is that a third payday game?
That one was home and home. They actually come here. We went there this year. They come here next year. That was designed years ago.
All right. So you got a home and home there. So you go to San Diego State on September 5th, you go to Oregon on September 19th. The rest of the schedule is familiar. You got Utah Tech and Southern Utah both on your schedule, both, I believe, at home next season. That just feels like a friendlier schedule. I see some wins there.
It is. It is. I agree.
Did you get input on that? You get to talk, or do they just do it and you kind of have to figure that out?
A lot of it's thrown at us. As far as the Big Sky, no. They ask they asked us, and they said, you'd get, who are the three teams you want to play every year? We guarantee you, you'll get your first choice. So I got, we got our first choice there. And because I think you keep the Eastern Washington Portland State rivalry going. The one trophy I told you we played for, and that's the one that they gave me. I knew I was going to have for sure. The others just fell into place.
Bruce Barnum is with us. How's your team doing? You didn't get a result last week against Idaho that you probably loved. How are you feeling?
We're under Snide. We're banged up. We're, you know, I still love our practice today, John. We're striking. I'm playing some freshmen and some walk-ons, and they're here because they know how to play the game. We're just a little behind the eight ball right now, but you know what? We got another one this week. We're going down to Cal Poly, and we're going to go down there and win a game. That's what everybody's working for. So that's where we're at. But, you know, there's frustration with everybody. I had a staff meeting Sunday, and I had a team meeting this morning because we gave them a day off. We had to give them an extra day off for the NCAA. But the I said, no negatives. I said, you're here for a reason. I brought you in. You're my team. I said, I don't want to hear any negative bullshit. I said, here's what we're working for. So don't listen if you're getting it from outside. I will not allow it here, and let's roll. So, you know, just trying to keep them going.
Bruce Barnum, Portland State football coach, is with us. How are you doing, though, personally? Because I know as a coach, you focus a lot on your team. You get up in the morning, you know, you stay at the office late. What, you know, how are you coping with sort of not getting the success?
You know, trying to plug the holes, you know, trying to see how we ended up here and how to make sure it doesn't happen again. And don't get me wrong, that's big answers and questions I need. But everybody's frustrated. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you pack it up, you don't take it home. You can't. Or it'll drive you into the dirt, you know. The game doesn't define me. It's my profession. I love coaching football. But when I walk away, I'm Bruce Barnum. So, you know, love me or hate me, I give two shits, but that's who I am.
Bruce Barnum, love him or hate him, is with us. Quarterback play. I know that that has been a question. What do you need out of your quarterbacks this week going on the road at Cal Poly?
Manage it, you know, what I see on the field, and it's something you don't expect. They're trying to win it all in one play. That was new, you know, run a play, and you got these two are open, but let's throw her deep, trying to score too quick and not matriculate, you know, depending on the play and the defense. So maybe back them up again, you know, say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to move the chains, and, you know, this is how we're going to score. Take our shots here. But just refocusing them, because they need to lead it all on that side of the ball.
You know, you've had moments. The first quarter ends against Idaho. It's 7-3. You're in the game. Second quarter, the wheels come off. Third quarter, it keeps going. Was there a pivot in the game that, where you felt like it got away from you in that second quarter, or is it turnovers? Is it just – you tell me.
There was a turnover that hurt us when that started, but a big part of it was, you know, kudos to Idaho. Their quarterback, Josh Wood, was back, and he's a talented individual. They haven't had him for three or four, however long.
Four TD passes in the first half, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's the real deal. I like him. I watched him. That's all I looked at pregame. I went out pregame to see if he's there because we weren't sure. And there he was, and he looked healthy, and I said, all right. So, but no, there's a point, you know, we need to be more consistent. And again, when you're in this abyss, trying to dig yourself out of, you know, Dante's Inferno, we just got to make sure we don't hit that last level and keep going up, not down.
When you see the opposing player, because you don't know if he's going to play, he hasn't played, He's a really good player. When you see that guy warming up and you know he's going to play, how much does that impact sort of, you know, does your stomach turn? Do you say, okay, we're going to change our, you know, we're going with, you know, you must have also, you know, figured there was a chance he was going to play. How much does that impact sort of the pregame strategy as you start to get ready to kick that game off?
It's just knowledge for the most part. It's the defense saying, okay, here's how we're attacking that one, because they had to prepare for more than one. And he's a little different. You know, he does things that the other guys didn't. That's why, you know, QB1, but just clicking that game plan, talking to the group on defense, making sure, and, you know, and every place has to help, though. In those situations, offense, you know, let's keep them off the field. Let's not give them that many opportunities. There's a lot that goes into that. It's not just the defense.
Bruce Varnum with us. You're looking at Cal Poly on film. What are you seeing?
A team that, again, we can get off the schneid with. So they're banged up like we are. You know, their quarterback is on the bench, I think. I mean, they played four quarterbacks. So it's slowing down their offense, I think, just not having that, you know, day-to-day, same guy there. But their defense is keeping them in games. Their defense is playing really well. They have the guy, I think, leading the nation in tackles, number 44, D'Amato kid, their Mike linebacker. So, you know, number one, I'm sure they're thinking, well, he's getting bought next year. Let's enjoy him this year. But he's a hell of a football player, and he's got people around him that they are able to line up with one less than you or equal to you and still stop the run. That's what you see from their defense. That's pretty good stuff.
All right, help us with that. That guy's getting bought, or you look at a quarterback on the other team. How is your league, or maybe the FCS division, how is that going? Because you know that people are coming shopping. If you have a player, you don't keep them long. And you kind of have to understand that. But give us kind of how that feels to you and what the strategy or mentality is for your program as you try to build towards, you know, building a roster.
Well, you just said it. The reason we talk like I just did, our staff talks about it. You know, we talk about other teams. There's a quarterback lighting it up at the FCS level right now. We know people on their staff, they're already talking the numbers he's being offered, you know. So, and he's still in season. It's out there. So it just means we know that we have to look back at the recruiting board and say, okay, how are we going to fill this spot? Because what I've chose, probably a bad option, is I said we're going to take high school guys because we're taking better ones. Hmm. The problem is, John, they're getting bought a year before I thought they would. You know, there's guys that I thought I would have for one more year and get some serious payoff from them. And they left a year earlier than I thought they would. So a little miscalculation there. So we're going to have to look back at it and see, are we going to take transfers? Are we going to take junior college along with, you know, a core of high school from Oregon probably is what we're thinking about switching to only. Or, you know, mainstay. And then you run into other problems, though. You have your APR, and those, if a guy comes in as a one-year guy, he really doesn't want to go to school. I don't care what other people say. So, and if he doesn't go to classes, it affects your graduation rate, and then you go on probation for that, you know. So there's more to the puzzle than, okay, lose one, put this guy in. There's NCAA and graduation and regulations you have to follow, or you're going to be on probation.
You don't have an NIL collective, but you're up against some schools like the Montana schools, UC Davis, Cal Poly, others, that, you know, their donor base gets together. It feels to me like that's a missed opportunity at Portland State, where you've got a huge alumni base, you know, and the ability maybe to go out and say, hey, if, you know, 5,000 people get behind Portland State football and decide to give $100 each. You know, it's not quite a bake sale, but it seems like there's an opportunity there. How hard is that for your department? You know, and is that the football coach's job? Is it the AD's job? Is it an outside thing? You know, everything's changed with the House versus the NCAA rules, but where do you kind of stand on the collective or getting some support from outside the university footprint?
It's going to have to happen, or we're going to have to find, which we are right now, another way. Cal Poly right now, the team we're going up against, I didn't think they had the NIL collective. They do. I found out they bought, we know people on their staff. They bought seven, I believe they told us, student athletes this year, quarterback up front, you know, your key positions. And that surprised me coming from them, but they do have a good base. I mean, John Madden went there. He built part of their stadium. So the base is there that you're getting it at all levels, it seems, all schools in my conference. What are we going to do? I'm going to need help, you know. I'm going to probably have to go that route because our fundraising, we don't have a, you know, schools now have their foundation, their state money, and then they have just an NIL collective office. It's just raising money for that. We don't have that. So somebody's going to have to do it, and you're probably talking to the guy.
But then, yeah, your job is to go coach the team and coach the players and assemble the roster and recruit. I don't know if that's just one more thing on your plate or if I would turn to the athletic department and go, okay, go out and find that former player who's excited about trying to help you raise funds, who's excited about trying to organize a collective and creating a campaign and, you know, not getting, you don't need a million people to get behind this. You need 1,000 people to get behind right. Portland State football.
Right. And they're taking it one step at a time. Cause think about this. If you go to the tournament in basketball, you make a lot of money. So, right now I believe we're helping out the basketball, you know, let's get them some people, with the collective, you know, get a point guy. And you can change a team quicker in basketball than you can in football. That's, you know, kind of been the decision. So there is some going on here, but it's going to another sport.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, that basketball element, they see the upside of basketball because you get to the NCAA tournament, you get a tournament unit that's, you know, $1 million for the school.
Right.
Bruce Barnum is
right.
with us. All right, so you got this Cal Poly game. You've got 4 games left in the schedule. You're looking for a win, any win. I see a couple of really tough ones with Sacramento State and Montana on the schedule. I see this week. I see the season finale. Where are you at kind of with setting a new goal for your season and with your team?
Well, you hear all these guys saying one game at a time, John. Well, we're taking her one game at a time. We're trying to go down to California this week and get a dub. We'll deal with the next one after that. But every bit of focus, everything is on this game right now for us.
Bruce Barnum, good luck to you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks for having us, John. I'll talk to you.
There he goes. Seems like a lost opportunity. Matt Billings, athletic director, Portland State, more recently in the last year, promoted to the job. This one feels like it falls on the athletic director to me. I don't want my football coach and my basketball coach raising the NIL funds for the program. You can have them be sort of the out front face of that, but you know, there are some stakeholders out there who I think would love to get behind Portland State football and say, okay, look, in this changing world, Portland State is at a significant disadvantage. The schedule for 26 looks better, with only Oregon and San Diego State being payday games there. Why not start a collective at Portland State that says, look, be part of the change, be part of the investment. Do you want to have a stake in your team? Do you want to, do you want to tap into your huge enrollment? Sell the alumni on the fact that they can make a difference. Everybody do what you can. A matching campaign. The athletic director has to be a leader here. The collective is a part of that. But your AD at Portland State, Matt Billings, where are you? Why have you not made a public appearance? Why have you not come on this show? Why have you not, you know, why are you not, you know, creating an NIL entity within your athletic department? Where are you? 503-417-7575 is the number. Our big splash coming up, 5 o'clock hour. We're going to talk with Maury Brown, Forbes Magazine, covers baseball. We'll talk about MLB to PDX. We'll talk about Shohei Ohtani being walked. Is it the right strategy? You got the BFT. Leave it here.